त्रैलोक्यरावणमाप्नोहि वीरपत्नीम्। बद्मीहि सेतुम् इह ते यशसो वितत्तै। गायन्ति दिग्विजयिनो यमुपेत्य भूपः। कामं प्रयाहि जहि विश्वसोवमेहम्। त्रैलोक्य रावणमवाप्नुहि वीरपत्नीम्। बद्मीहि सेतुमिह ते यशसो वितत्यै। गायन्ति दिग्विजयिनो यमुपेत्य भूपः। कामं प्रयाहि जहि विश्वसोवमेहम्। त्रैलोक्य रावणम् अवाप्नुहि वीरपत्नीम्। बद्मीहि सेतुम् इह ते यशसो वितत्यै। गायन्ति दिग्विजयिनो यमुपेत्य भूपः। बद्मीहि सेतुम् इह ते यशसो वितत्यै। गायन्ति दिग्विजयिनो यमुपेत्य भूपः। माताजी कामं प्रयाहि जहि विश्वसोवमेहम्। त्रैलोक्य रावणमवाप्नुहि वीरपत्नीम्। बद्मीहि सेतुम् इह ते यशसो वितत्यै। गायन्ति दिग्विजयिनो यमुपेत्य भूपः।
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग प्लीज रिपीट। कामम एज यू लाइक। प्रयाही यू मे गो ओवर माई वॉटर। जही जस्ट कॉन्कर। विश्वसः ऑफ विश्राव मुनि। अवमेहम पॉल्यूशन लाइक यूरिन। Trailokya, for the three worlds. Ravanam, the person known as Ravan, the cause of weeping. Avapnuhi, regain. Veera, O great hero. Patnim, your wife. Badnihi, just construct. Setum, a bridge. Iha, here on this water. Te, of your good self. Yashasaha, fame. Vitattai, to expand. Gayanti, will glorify. Digvijayinaha, great heroes who have conquered all directions. Yam, which. Upetya, coming near. Bhupaha, great kings. Translation by Purvised Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravan, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like Hurin. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Purport. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to the family, he is no better than urine. Here Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus the ocean personified wanted him, killed by Lord Ramchandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramchandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramchandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tektva deham punar janma nayati mam eti so arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance, my activities, does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadav Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Uttapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalptaru Bhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhya Vaishnavibhya Namunamaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing the beautiful narration of Ramayana. And of course I won't be speaking much on Ramayana because I don't have much realizations and taste for speaking kathas, but previous speakers like yesterday Guru Gaurang Prabhu and Shivalas Prabhu very beautifully explained. And the past times have come to the point where Lord Ram is asking permission from ocean to give him the way to reach Lanka. And in Hindi there is a saying, jab seedhi ungli se ghee nahi nikalta to ungli ko tedi karni padti hai. So something like that happened there. 3 days Lord Ram, he meditated and tried to, you know, in a very gentle, manly way, take permission, blessings from ocean god, but it didn't appear. So ultimately Lord Ram had to took up his bow and arrow, and then immediately ocean god appeared and said what we read today. And of course the best part is Lord Ram's tolerance and patience. Generally in this material world we also sometimes exhibit all these qualities of patience and tolerance and humility. But generally, as it is said, that morality is the lack of opportunity. We behave humbly because we have nothing to be proud of. We are honest because we are actually fallen. And we tolerate because we know that intolerance will lead to more problems. So we are forced to tolerate. That is not natural. But for the Lord, Ram here, he not only had a bona fide reason to, you know, demand ocean that, oh, you have to give way to me because it is emergency, isn't it? As Shubh Vilaspur mentioned that day, that by the time Lord reached at the ocean shore, he had only 18 days remained, because Mother Sita had said that if Lord doesn't come within 30 days to Hanuman, then I won't survive. So by the time Hanuman reached back to Kishkanda and Lord came to ocean, so all 12 days were over. So only 18 days were remaining. So he had all rights to say, and he had authority also, power also, everything. But still, it's like Lord is such a perfect gentleman, as Maryada Purushottam, that because he has to cross over someone, so he begged his permission that, oh, please allow me to make a bridge over you or give path. So this is a wonderful quality of the Lord which we can learn. And second thing is here, ocean god, he's condemning Ravan as urine. And Prabhupada beginning his purport by saying that the putra and the mutra, in Hindi they say it like this, putra and a mutra, they come from the same place. And if putra is not worthy, just like Bhagavatam not only condemns irresponsible parents, like in 5th canto, guru nasya, janina nasya, pitana nasya, that if you are not a responsible mother, if you cannot deliver your child or your dependent, then you don't have any right to become a father or mother or guru or demigod or whatever. So Bhagavatam not only condemns an irresponsible leader, but Bhagavatam also condemns an irresponsible follower. So responsibility lies on both the leader and the follower. And Bhagavatam condemns in a very strong way. Very strong, urine. You know. Although the entire world is now trying to become Ravan, you know, it is considered very glorious that, oh, I am very lusty. Nowadays, you know, I was going to Mira Road and saw a billboard, Lalach Achhi Bala Hai. I don't know if you have seen it, near Kandivali somewhere, big, huge billboard, and said, Lalach Achhi Bala Hai, that if you are greedy, very good, if you are lusty, very good. But Bhagavatam parameters are a little different, and Bhagavatam says that if you are not pursuing the goal of self-realization, then you are no better than urine, useless. We pass urine and never care. So this is Bhagavatam. And then Prabhupada, in the second half of his purport, he basically focuses on Lord's wonderful activity of constructing a bridge. You know, we constructed a small bridge here, you know, the sea link. And it took many years. You know, so many years it took. A small bridge in comparison to what Lord Ram made. there. And how many days Lord took it to make? Only, I think, 7 or 8 days He took, you know. Within 7 or 8 days, the bridge was ready. And everyone just, you know, marched on. So these are, so there are so many wonderful activities of Lord Krishna, Lord Ram in scriptures. And Lord always performed wonderful activities. Therefore, one of the name of the Lord is Adbhut Karmani, that He always performed wonderful activities. He is a Lord of wonderful activities, like here we are seeing from the beginning. So, because Lord is, why Lord performed wonderful activities? Because He is Akhil Rasamrit Murthy. He's a reservoir of all types of pleasure and rasas. He's full of joy. So therefore He performs so many wonderful activities. And He performs these wonderful activities so that His devotees' love for Him can be intensified. When Lord performs wonderful activities, then His pure devotees, they keep on reciting those pastimes. Like in Vrindavan, Krishna used to kill a demon. And then the Gopa, Gwalas, they used to glorify Krishna, well done Krishna, well done Krishna. And then they would return back to the Braj, and then they would tell everyone that, oh, Krishna has performed this activity today. And then the cowherd ladies, throughout the day, they would sing those pastimes. So Krishna performed His wonderful activity so that His devotees can absorb themselves and intensify their love for Him. And Krishna performs this wonderful activity for us also, those who are not pure devotees, those who are sadhakas, so that we can be attracted towards Him and purify ourselves. And of course, Krishna also performs these wonderful activities to challenge atheists. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that nowadays the fashion to make gods or to create gods. But Prabhupada said that we accept God, Lord Ramchandra as God because He constructed the bridge, and we accept Lord Krishna as God because He lifted the Govardhan hill. So therefore, Krishna performs all these wonderful activities. Once Sasubh Maharaj, when he was very, very new in Krishna consciousness, I don't think initiated or... So he asked Prabhupada, when he heard that Krishna married 16,108 wives, so he was a little confused, bewildered, couldn't understand that how is it possible a person can marry and maintain, of course. So he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, I'm a little confused, I'm not able to understand how Krishna can, how someone can marry 16,000 wives. And Prabhupada didn't give any explanation. He said, what to speak of you, even big, big sages and, you know, scholars, they are also bewildered. So Krishna performed these activities for the pleasure of His devotees, for His own pleasure, and to bewilder the atheist and demons also. And if you see Krishna's wonderful activities from... Because as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, I think in the shloka of Natas Bhasyate Suryana Shashankuna Pavaka, Prabhupada writes that one should be captivated by the information of the spiritual world. So unless we are captivated by Krishna or Krishna's activities, we won't develop attraction towards Him. So therefore, in every aspect of whatever we see, whatever we feel, we should see that how Krishna is so wonderful. Every aspect of Krishna, His creation, is so wonderful. Even in this material world, if we see from the smallest cell in our body or bacteria, whatever it is, to the big, big heavenly entities which are floating in the sky, so wonderful, isn't it? A cell itself is a city, so wonderful. And then sun and moons and millions of stars, they are, you know, floating in the sky, so wonderful. I remember when I was a child, you know, many times I used to look at the sky. And I used to think that, what is the limit of the sky? You know, I used to see, oh, what is the end? You know, where does this sky end, you know? And then I would think, oh, there must be a wall, you know, somewhere. Somewhere there must be a wall, you know. But then I would think, oh, what is behind that wall then, you know? So in this way, you know, the sky is unlimited, and that is only one universe. So this is Krishna's wonderful activity. He's creating this material world. Such minutely everything is working so perfectly. And then Krishna expands himself in, you know, various forms. That is also so wonderful. He appears as Karuna Daksha Vishnu, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, Kshira Daksha Vishnu. From his lotus navel, lotus flower comes, and there takes birth Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe. So wonderful. And then Krishna, he takes so many wonderful incarnations and does so many wonderful activity. Like he appeared as Kurma, and it is explained that he was having some itch on his back. And therefore he just, because, you know, it's quite difficult to, you know, touch to the middle of your back, reach. So, you know, Krishna, just to enjoy some fun, he became a tortoise and helped the demigods and demons to churn the ocean of milk, and also relieve from his itch. Then Krishna appeared as Vamandev, you know, small, but a dwarf, and suddenly he increases his size and covers the entire universe with two feet. Then Krishna appears as Matsya, small fish, you know, becoming big. So there are so many incarnations of Lord Krishna doing so many wonderful activities, so that we can absorb ourselves in those activities and become purified, become attracted towards him. And when Krishna comes as Krishna in his original form, from the very beginning he performs wonderful activities. From his birth, when he was 6 days old, he killed Putana, he killed Aghasur, Bakasur, Trinavart, Keshi, Arishtasa, so many demons he killed. And then, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, he lifted Govardhan Hill. When we were small, I remember, you know, if we have to do any small thing, you know, then we used to say, oh, ye to meri baaye haath ki, you know, choti ingli ka kaam hai, you know. I can do this with small finger or pinky of my left hand. And Krishna, you know, he lifted the entire Govardhan Hill with, you know, small finger of his left hand. So these are Krishna's wonderful activities so that we can absorb ourselves. And in fact, Krishna's activities are wonderful that the chapter in Bhagavatam describes the Govardhan Leela. The next chapter after it, the immediate next chapter, entitles, Prabhupada gave the name Wonderful Krishna. Smallest chapter in Bhagavatam, in Krishna book, very small, maybe 1.5 page. But entitles Wonderful Krishna. Why, Prabhupada entitled that Wonderful Krishna? Because after Govardhan Leela, all the residents of Vrindavan, they were amazed by seeing this power of Krishna. Till now, okay, Krishna was killing demons here and there, but, you know, for 7 days lifting a huge mountain on the left hand of his smallest finger, and then, you know, not eating anything, not drinking anything, not sleeping anything, protecting everyone. So all the coward men of Vrindavan, they came together and they started discussing that, oh, our Krishna is so wonderful, you know, that he is killing so many demons. Then Nanda Maharaj, he recalls Gargacharya's, you know, Bhavishyavani, that, oh, this person is not ordinary person, Krishna is not ordinary. And Brajavasis, you know, they simply glorify Krishna, they absorb themselves in the pastimes of Krishna. And they think, oh, you know, he must be some great personality. They never come to the conclusion that he may be supreme personality of Godhead. So, this is another wonderful quality of Krishna, that he loves his devotees, you know, in this way. Another wonderful quality of Krishna is which even amazed Kunti Maharani. He prays while praying to Krishna in first canto. She says that I'm amazed, Krishna, that even fear personified is fearful of you. But still you are running out of fear of Mother Yashoda. So she is also, you know, wonderstruck that, oh, Krishna, so you are so wonderful. Although, you know, in your kala rupa you are destroying everything, but still you are running because you are fearful of Mother Yashoda. So of course sometimes, you know, it is very, very difficult to comprehend that how Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can be actually fearful. Because we think that, oh, anyway he knows that I am Supreme Personality of Godhead, so how he can be actually fearful? How he can be actually subordinate to his devotees? But that is his real nature. We have to understand that spiritual world is the only reality. Whatever happening there is reality actually. When we try to superimpose our relative reality of this world to spiritual world, we cannot understand. Krishna is eternally a cowherd boy. You know, especially if you live in a rural setting or village setting for some time and live a natural life, then sometimes I feel that, you know, then there are better chances we can understand Krishna's spiritual world. Therefore, Prabhupada used to quote many times, I think one poet or one writer, his name was Cooper, Prabhupada used to say that, he said that God created the country and man created the cities. So village life, Krishna is living a very, very natural life there, you know. He doesn't want that his devotees comes to know that he is God or they treat him like this. Like even we also, you know, if everyone is, you know, simply worshipping us or, you know, giving so much of respect, we don't like that. We generally like to associate with those people with whom we have a very close relationship, you know, that they don't care who we are externally. So similarly, Krishna also, he doesn't like that that people come and keep on glorifying him, that you are God, you are maintaining us, you are protecting us. Krishna wants, you know, he very low profile person, you know. We have to understand that who Krishna is actually. As you know, Govind Prabhu was mentioning in a few weeks before he gave class, and he said Krishna consciousness means, of course, one meaning we hear that we have to be conscious of Krishna. But another meaning he said, we have to be conscious of Krishna's consciousness. We have to understand what Krishna's consciousness is. Then only we can love him actually. If we want to love someone, we have to understand that person's nature, what he likes, what he doesn't like. So Krishna is a person, you know, who doesn't like much, any kind of respect. Therefore he likes Vrindavan. Recently, proper disciple, our Vishakha Mataji, she wrote an article in BTG, the ecstasy of insignificance. You know, that when we really feel insignificant, that excess is the highest ecstasy. So in that she mentions this point, that how Krishna is also, you know, want to feel that excess of insignificance. And she quotes one Prabhupada quote from his lecture. I just read that. Prabhupada is saying, so this philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, is very sublime, to accept God as subordinate. Krishna says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find that, everyone worships me with awe and reverence and veneration. But if anyone worships me without any awe, veneration and treats me as insignificant, I like that. Prabhupada started laughing. I like that. So that exchange of Krishna's feeling you can find in this Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. That Mother Yashoda is treating Krishna as very insignificant. He is my child. If I don't give him protection, he will die. Therefore, Krishna is very much obliged to Mother Yashoda. So that is another aspect of, you know, of Krishna's wonderfulness, that all the Supreme Personality of God, that he is, you know, Bhoktara Megatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, still he always liked to be treated as, you know, very insignificant person. Of course, that doesn't mean that we treat him like that. Only pure devotees can do like that. But that is his nature. That is, he is most humble. Therefore, you know, here also we see Lord Ram, he is just, you know, requesting God Ocean. For him there is no need to request. He can construct bridge, you know, or whatever. He can even fly over. But as a matter of etiquette, he is asking his permission. So Krishna is most humble. Sometimes, you know, in Western world people have this concept that God is, you know, is like a, you know, dictator, or he's like a Supreme Court judge who is simply punishing people. But God has to be most humble person. God has to be most humble. Otherwise, why is, you know, demanding humility from us? The first qualification to become Krishna consciousness is humility. If God himself is not humble, then how he can, you know, expect humility from us? So he's a most humble person. That is also one of his wonderful quality, that he is so humble. Although very great, but very humble. Another wonderful quality of Krishna is Sasaru Maharaj. I was hearing one of his lectures, and he mentioned that he was quoting from Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the initial chapters of Adi Lila, first chapter is about, you know, the spiritual master. Second chapter is how Lord Chaitanya is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. Third is internal reasons of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, and fourth is external reasons of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And the fifth chapter is glories of Lord Nityananda. And in this fifth chapter, Kaviraj Goswami, he explains that how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then how Krishna expands himself into Karana Daksha Vishnu, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, Kshira Daksha Vishnu, different incarnations, and then come to this material world. He describes the hierarchy. And then he explains that how Lord Nityananda, he is carrying this entire material creation on his hood as Ananta Shesh. And he doesn't even feel the weight. It's like a mustard seed, you know. He keep on glorifying, you know, Lord Nityananda like that. And then he says that there is another greatness of the Lord Nityananda. He explained this greatness which anyone can, you know, accept. Oh, this is really great. Yeah, I accept that. Oh, Krishna is so great. He created this world. But then Kaviraj Goswami says that there is another greatness. There is another wonderful quality of the Lord Nityananda. And then he explains the pastime of Miniketan Ramdas and Gunarana Mishra. How Miniketan Ramdas was offended by Gunarana Mishra. And then Kaviraj Goswami, he chastises, you know, his brother for not treating Lord Nityananda properly. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that this is the most wonderful quality of Lord Nityananda, that although he is so powerful, he is carrying the entire material creation on his hood, but still he showed mercy towards me. I am such an insignificant person. Generally a person who is great, he doesn't care about, you know, small people. You know. But Kaviraj Goswami says, see, Krishna is so wonderful, although so great, but still he has bestowed his mercy upon me. He is caring about me. So this is another wonderful nature of the Lord, that he cares for everyone. He loves us. He loves us. His reciprocation, his protection. So that is another wonderful quality of the Lord, that he always protects his devotees. If, you know, if it is asked from us that among all Krishna's qualities, which qualities, you know, we like, or, you know, we are attracted to. And at least I can say about myself, and most of, I can say that everyone will say that Krishna's bhakta vatsal nature, that is love for his devotees, that he always protects his devotees, he cares for his devotees. That quality is most important, or, you know, most attractive, that Krishna loves me. When we think this, of Krishna loves me, there is someone who really loves me. We are attracted to this. And we can say by our own examples that none of us practically, you know, I can say about myself, but none of us have ever thought that we will be performing Krishna consciousness or doing Krishna bhakti in our lives. Our lives before coming to Krishna consciousness, it was kind of sinful life. At best, maybe pious, you know. But we never thought that the day will come, you know, when we'll live such a wonderful life. Isn't it? We are, you know, taking darshans of such wonderful deities. you know, wonderful prasadam, wonderful philosophy, and of course, wonderful devotees, you know. The best part of Krishna consciousness is the devotees, you know, wonderful devotees. In outside world, if you go, people are there to exploit, you know. Really, you know, when I think of, you know, what Krishna consciousness has given, the best, the devotees, you know. That is the best gift Prabhupada has given us, the devotees. Because we can put our faith on them. We know that they are genuine, you know. In this Kali Yuga, to get people who are genuine in their nature is so difficult. So this is Krishna's another wonderful quality, that he gives us the feeling that you are not alone, I am there with you. Although we are so insignificant, we are so fallen, still Krishna loves us. And although people think that, you know, they complain about God, that why God is giving us so much suffering, why, you know, complaints about God. But a devotee understands that Krishna loves me. Krishna is my best friend. There is no friend in this world better than Krishna, who is always there with me. And we understand that although, you know, sometimes we pray to Krishna for protection, and sometimes Krishna protects us. So Krishna's protection is Krishna. When Krishna protects, we say, oh, see, Krishna is so merciful. Krishna protected me. But even if Krishna doesn't protect us, that is also Krishna. That is also non-different from Krishna. So devotee understand this, but, you know, a person who is not devotee cannot understand. So that is this quality of Krishna, that he is always protecting his devotee, is very wonderful. I just read one pastime from Chaitanya Bhagavat about Krishna's protection, that how, you know, Krishna loves his devotee so much, and then how we should also reciprocate accordingly. In Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhyakhand, chapter 20, which entitled Glories of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta is like none other than Hanuman in Ramlila. So one day Murari Gupta started thinking that Lord is, you know, sometimes his actions are little bewildering. We cannot understand them. And then Murari Gupta started thinking that Lord Ram, he fought the entire battle just for the Sita. He killed Ravan and killed so many demons just for the Sita. And within, you know, 1 or 2 years, he abandoned the same Sita also. So he became very morose, thinking that, you know, I don't know what will happen. Right now, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here. So anytime he can leave this world and abandon me, so better, you know, that I live before him. So then he planned to commit suicide. He brought a chopper, big chopper, and, you know, safely hid in his house, that at night I'll kill myself. And then suddenly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in his house. And he said, Murari, I want something. So would you follow my order? He said, my lord, this life is for you. Whatever you say, I'll follow. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, then bring that chopper here. So Murari Gupta was, you know, a little frightened. He said, no, what are you talking about? You know, there is nothing like that. So Lord, someone has given you wrong information, Murari said. The Lord said, Murari, do you think that unless someone informs me about something, I cannot come to know? I even know that who has made that chopper and where you have hid it. So bring it immediately. And then there was no other option for Murari but to bring that. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his heart to Murari Gupta. He said, the Lord said, oh Murari, this is how you behave? For what fault of mine do you want to leave me? If you leave, with whom will I enjoy pastimes? Who has given you such ideas? Oh Murari, give me your words that you will never think of such thing again. Lord Vishwambhar then embraced Murari and placed his hand on Murari's head. And then Lord says, Murari, you will eat my head. Gupta, you will eat my head if you ever desire to give your body again. So this is Lord's heart, you know. He has unlimited devotees, you know, to associate with. But still he values each and every devotee. For him, each and every devotee is so important. Even when Haridas Thakur was about to leave his body, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that whatever happiness I had in this material world, it was because of you, Haridas Thakur, and now you are leaving. Of course, Haridas Thakur said, he, out of his humility, said, Lord, please don't create this illusion. So this is Lord's heart, that he cares for each and every devotee. That is his wonderful quality, wonderful nature. That he doesn't think, oh, anyway, I have so many people to, you know, deal with. So this is insignificant person. I can, you know, just leave. And then Murari Gupta immediately fell to the ground and washed the Lord's feet with his tears of love. The pious Murari cried as he held the lotus feet of the Lord. And Sri Sachinandan cried as he picked Murari up and embraced him. So this is Lord's protection. There are so many pastimes in scriptures, you know, Lord protecting his devotees. And sometimes we may feel, you know, that okay, you know, Lord is protecting Murari Gupta because he's Hanuman, Lord is protecting Prahlad because he is that in spiritual world, he's protecting this devotee because they are all, you know, Nitya Siddhas, pure devotees. But we have to understand that Krishna's mind is free from this duality, that this is lower, this is higher, this is pure, this is impure, you know. He is ready to purify each and every one of us if we genuinely take shelter of him. Ye thamam prapadyante samsatha bhajamyam. If we properly surrender to him, again, same aspect, you know, that how Krishna is very, very humble. A humble person, he doesn't want to impose himself on others. It's natural for him, you know. So therefore, Krishna doesn't want to impose his protection or his supremacy on others. He says, okay, you want my protection? If, you know, 10 times you say, yes, Krishna, I want your protection. Isn't it? A humble person doesn't come in front. He said, oh, I can protect everyone, you know. He just stays behind. And unless it is, you know, reminded, oh, and requested, oh, please come, you know, do something. Then he do. So similarly, Krishna is, you know, simple person, humble person. He stays behind. And unless Krishna is sure that, yeah, he really wants me. Not that Krishna is proud that. No. Krishna is not proud. He wants to make sure that we really want him. He doesn't want to impose himself on us. So if we really surrender to Krishna, then Krishna is ready to help us. What to speak of even surrendered devotee, even those who are not surrendered, like we are in this material world, we have rejected Krishna, but still Krishna is maintaining us. That is his simplicity. If our servant rejects us, so do we maintain him? Never, you know. We say, oh, you know, bhaad mein jaye, hame kya lena dena. We say like this, that we have nothing to do with this person. But although we have rejected Krishna, we are blaming Krishna, we are complaining to Krishna, we are criticizing him, you know, we are doing all nonsense things to him, but still Krishna is maintaining us. This is another wonderful quality of Krishna. And another wonderful quality of Krishna is, of course, which is similar to this one, is his ability to deal with every individual, or deal with every individual's emotions, you know, reciprocate perfectly. Few years before, I remember Braj Bhadur has written an article in BTG about, you know, when he used to love a cricket star very much, and some other he saw one day that cricket star on the road. And he thought, oh, he is the person, you know, who, like, who is my favorite. So he went to him with, you know, so much of expectation that he'll say like this and I'll say like this. But that person, he couldn't respect it properly. In fact, he neglected, you know. So that was a realization for him that, oh, that in this material world, actually no one can reciprocate perfectly as Krishna can. Like, say, in this room, we are, you know, 70-80 people are sitting. Everyone has different nature. Everyone has different way of thinking, tendencies. And sometimes, you know, it's very, very difficult that our tendency and nature matches with other person, you know. And you feel, oh, this person is, you know, we don't want to do anything. But Krishna is such a person that he can accommodate each and every person. Every person finds shelter in Krishna. Whatever that his or her nature is, his tendencies is, we find shelter in Krishna. We find confidence in Krishna, that here is a person who really loves me. Here is a person who will never misunderstand me. Here is a person who will never hate me. Here is a person who is my best friend. So that is also one of the wonderful quality of Krishna, that he can give shelter to everyone. Of course, although Krishna is so wonderful, Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada many times used to say like this, you know, that, oh, for Krishna it is not at all wonderful. You know, Sasura Maharaj writes in one of his articles many years before he wrote that, he took this phrase from Krishna's, Prabhupada's books, that for Krishna, it was not at all wonderful for Krishna, you know. Krishna appeared as Lord Varaha, and he picked the Mother Earth from the ocean, and then Prabhupada writes in the Parbat, not at all wonderful for Krishna. Krishna killed Agasur, and although he was a demon, he gave him Sarupya Mukti, and Prabhupada writes in the Parbat that it was not at all wonderful for Krishna. So this is also another wonderful quality of Krishna, that although it's so wonderful, but still nothing is so wonderful for him. When we understand that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is working under his direction, then nothing other than Krishna can wonderstruck us or amaze us. And as Brajavasis in the chapter Wonderful Krishna, after discussing the wonderful qualities of Krishna, ultimately they come to the conclusion that our Krishna is so wonderful. Let us always remain in the shelter of that wonderful Krishna. So similarly, we can pray that although Krishna is so wonderful, let us always remain in the protection of wonderful Krishna. Of course, that protection comes in different ways, like in his devotees, wonderful devotees, and wonderful philosophy, wonderful books, wonderful deities, and of course a wonderful holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any question or comment, please. Hare Krishna. Mic mein aise keh dijiye. Yeah, nice point. If you love someone, then you show it. Yeah. Simply saying that, oh, I love you, is like. Thank you. Adikish, please do something. I might need to. Who, the celebrities? No, you're talking about, if I understood, how do the fan continues? Generally, you know, very rare chances, you know, like Brajavasi, if you directly get a chance to meet your favorite person, generally you don't get, you know, but you see simply on the screen, you know, and just mesmerized by their opulences. They are, actually we are not attracted to a person. If someone says, oh, I am attracted to such a person, he is very beautiful. I am attracted to a person who is very powerful. We are not actually attracted to that person. We are actually attracted to the opulence which they have. And that originally comes from Krishna. So whatever attraction we have towards someone is perverted attachment which we have for Krishna. And the proof of this is that as soon as that person loses that opulence, we lose our attachment also. So means we are not attached to that person. We are not attracted to that person. And the reality, you know, the reality is we may say that I'm attached to this person, I'm attracted to this person, I'm a fan of this person. Actually we are envious of that person. Actually we are envious of this person. Unless a person is a devotee, he doesn't have any good quality. So although we may say, oh, I'm a fan of this film star, actually deep in our heart, we want to take that position. But because, you know, again the same phrase, you know, morality is lack of opportunity. We don't have that opportunity, but as soon as in this material world you find opportunity, you bring that person down and take that position. So there is my understanding that, you know, real attraction is only only professional. All other attractions are perverted. And as time passes, that person will lose his opulence. We have, you know, examples, you know, so many film stars in India, you know, practically all over the world. Not only this, any big celebrities, you know. After they become old, you know, who cares, you know, they die such, you know, pathetically. No one cares. No one cares. So this is mundane attachment. I don't know if I don't. Thank you. Anything else? Let's stop here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.